Welcome.
God says we belong. And when I think about the ways that God invites us to belong, a lot of that is related to how we use names. God names people that he interacts with. When I was at youth camp this last week with a lot of the teenagers, the speaker there was talking about the names that we give ourselves. Some of us have sort of an internal dialogue of things that we say that we're like, or names that maybe someone has called us that we've sort of owned that are not true. They might kind of bring us down and be negative. So I kind of was thinking about sort of if you were in a schoolyard, you know, as a child, sometimes kids will call each other names that are not building each other up. They're just kind of poking fun at them or calling out the characteristics that they want to make fun of, and it's very damaging. But God has given us names that he's built us in a certain way, and he has a plan and a purpose for us, and so he gives us individual names and characteristics that he has put in there. And some of those might have been lying dormant because we've embraced some of the negative names that we have given ourselves through some negative self-talk. So I was looking through the Bible and looking for examples of times when Jesus or God has directly met somebody and given them a name, and just trying to see why does he rename somebody if they already have a name? Why do they need a new one? And the graphic up here, it's very, very small, but basically there were a large black pieces of plywood, and the students were asked to come up and write some of the names that they've see for themselves, or some of the names that have been given to them that aren't necessarily from God. And then later in the week, they painted over the wall and were asked to write the names that God has impressed upon their hearts of who they're called to be and what they were originally designed for. And so it was heartbreaking to read the names that were written at the first part of the week, because you just read some of this negative stuff that people think about themselves, you know, because not everyone shares what's going on in their heart, but sometimes people feel comfortable writing something down, and when you read it, you realize that not everybody is dealing with the same stuff, and so they're kind of like what we read. Later on in the week, when you get a sense of what God is doing in their hearts, it can be very encouraging to see how they can use God's word and encouragement, you know, in an environment where there are people who are calling you to something higher. So in Genesis 32:28, I want to just briefly mention a story of where God interacts with a man named Jacob. And it's a weird story, because he actually struggles and wrestles with God. You know, as before God comes to the earth physically as Jesus Christ, he's in this kind of confusing. And sometimes as I'm reading through it, I'm like, who is this being that he's wrestling with? But later he says, you know, I've wrestled with God. The man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." And so after this first interaction with Jacob, God gives him a new name, Israel. And when he gives him that name, it's not just to give him a name and then walk away, but he invites him to have a relationship with him, and he blesses him, and he becomes the nation of Israel later on. So God is with him and blessing him, and allowing his lineage to grow. And in John 1:41-42, a man named Simon meets Jesus as Jesus is first calling his first apostles to follow him. The first thing Andrew did, this is Simon's brother, was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." This is someone who they were expecting, but they didn't know who they were going to be. "We found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him in his first interaction. He looked at him and he said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. So Jesus just interacts with him for the first time and gives him a name. Jesus says, "This is who you are going to be. This is who you are now." He doesn't wait for him to jump through some hoops and, you know, impress him and say, "Okay, now you've earned your name." He gives him the name right up front. And I think God does the same thing with us. He has a plan and a purpose for us. And so he says it before it even there's even evidence of what it's going to be. So I want you to think about this. A lot of the teenagers that came to camp, I had a great time at camp. There's a lot of fun that happens there. But the thing that impresses me most, in my own testimony, when I was a teenager, I went to camp, and I had an unmistakable meeting with God. And for me, it happened during worship, where I'm just singing to God, and I'm connecting on this level where you're kind of saying, like, this, there's something here that I haven't ever experienced before, but I don't want it to ever end. I kind of have this glimpse of what I feel like heaven, what makes heaven great, is that you get to be in communion with God and you can connect in a way that you know that there's something powerful there. Have you had an unmistakable meeting with God? What new name has God given to you, if he has? Because if you meet with God, you can't help but be changed. One of the first things that we do as parents, if you've been a parent, when we meet our children for the first time, is to give them their name and to give them our name. I give them my last name to identify them as belonging to my family. So when you meet with God and he calls you his own child, he will give you a name and a purpose. And Amy here is going to have an interview with one of our children's ministry.
A couple of months ago, we did in Kids Zone, we talked about the meaning of our names, and we explored actually all of the names of all of our kids in Kids Zone, and we looked them up, and we found out what they meant, where they came from. I'm standing in front of the mic, so there's feedback. Come on back. And every single one of them took home a page that had their name big and beautiful and colored the way they wanted to, with the meaning underneath and why that was important. And so just, I could interview any one of our kids from Kids Zone and they would be able to say, "This is my name and this is what it means." I asked Zion, because she was here this morning early, to be my interviewee. So I'm going to ask Zion some questions about her name, and she's going to answer them, and I'm going to help her remember things. Hi, Zion.
Hello.
Zion, tell me, do you know what your name means?
Yes, it's the mountain where God lives.
The mountain where God lives. And Zion, do you know how you got your name?
Yes.
Can you tell us how you got your name?
I got my name because my mom and dad were texting names, and then she had a dream about a mountain with my name in front of it, but she didn't like it that much, and she asked God to help her like it. And then the next night, she had another dream with the verse in front of it, which she liked it now.
She liked it now. And I think you might have forgotten, because I forgot what that verse was. I wrote it down. This is the verse that your mom said that she got when she had her dream. It said, it was Psalm 50, verse 2. "From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth." So Zion, which is your name, according to the Bible, is a place, a big high mountain where God lives, and beauty, perfect beauty, shines from there. So Zion, that's your name, and that's what it means. How does that make you feel?
Special.
You are special. Every single one of us is special. The names that we're given, whether the ones that we speak out or the ones that we know in our heart, come from God, and they tell us who we are. We are going to continue in worship this morning with some music, and I asked Zion and Eden, to help out with this song. If you are in Kids Zone and remember he knows my name, you are welcome to come up and stand with us and sing as well.
So the teens, it's really, like Ezra said, it's heartbreaking to see the things that are on their mind. You guys, being a teenager is really hard. I don't know if you remember when you were a teenager, or if you're raising a teenager. Raising a teenager is also hard. Because today in our culture, there's a lot of things that compete for our attention. And if we don't take the time to plug into what God's telling us and the things that he's saying to us, and we listen to what the world is telling us, it can be overbearing, it can be overwhelming. And the world tells us that we're not good enough. It tells us that we're not fast enough, we're not smart enough, we're not strong enough, we're not rich enough, we don't have enough time, money, we don't have enough stuff. But God welcomes us. He says that we belong to him. Why does he tell us that? Because he values us. Romans 5, 6 through 8 says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So in all of our imperfections, Christ died for us. Just as we are right now in this very, very moment, we're wanted and we're valued. If you think or feel otherwise, know that you're hearing the wrong voice. Listen to your Father, know his word, and let that voice be the loudest in your life, because you are enough."
One of the parables, the stories that Jesus teaches and tells, that really, I feel like I get something out of it every time that I read it, is called the parable of the prodigal son. And this is where a father has a son that decides he's going to take his share of the inheritance, even though his father's still alive, and go and just do whatever he wants with it. And he lives in a way that is not pleasing to his father. And then he hits the bottom. He realizes that he's failed, and that he's needing to be saved. And so he disappoints. He's feeling like he's a disappointment to his father. And in Luke 15, verses 17 through 22. It says, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father,'" just as he had rehearsed, "'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet.' So even though he didn't deserve to be called his son, as he said himself, his father embraced him because his relationship with his son was more important than whether he deserved or had earned something. And this is the same way that God, our Father, sees us. No matter where we are on the spectrum in our relationship with God, if we've run far from him and have not done things to honor him, he still is yearning for our return, and he's ready to call us his own. Give us the best robe and the ring on our finger, because he wants, the relationship is much more valuable than what we could ever earn. And so think about that relationship between God as our father and us as a son who is estranged or is isolating ourselves because of our own guilt or grief. As we listen, as we watch this slideshow that we're going to play with a song, "Good, Good Father."
Come up to camp, which was incredible, fun, exciting, all those things. And we asked a few of them if they would mind coming up and sharing their experiences. So Kennedy and Alora, if you would. Real quick, those of you who are here this morning that went to camp, do you mind standing? Go ahead, Ari, you could stand. And Josiah and Lana, and I don't know where Noah is. You guys, we really appreciated your support getting them there, and lives were really, really changed. You could sit down, sorry. Lives were changed and impacted, and it was because we had the members of Hillside and Edgewater pulling together to get our kids there. So we want to hear a little bit from Kennedy and Alora. Come on up. Both of you can come up together. All right. Alora, did you want to go first?
So we talked about how we're being radically restored and that you're not alone for your situations and that you need to share what you're going through so our people can help. We had a couple speakers for us, and all of them really wanted to help. And I felt like that our youth group got really connected and that more of us were, like, together. And
Hi, I'm Kennedy. I'm 13 years old, and I had quite the experience at camp. I'm going to come out and say that before I went to camp, I was unsure whether God even existed. And when I read biblical stories, I would just leave confused. But I took camp as an opportunity to reach out and feel God, and I decided that before I went, I was going to do everything I could to achieve that goal. Now, mind that this is my first time doing anything camping, first time reaching out to God, and my first time meeting literally everybody there. So everything was new to me, and I was really scared, but that's besides the point. Anyway, I really wanted to feel that life-changing connection that people talk about all the time, and I tried so hard. I paid attention to every single word that was preached. I sang with every worship, and I memorized 34 verses worth of scripture to get points for my team. In 4 days, after not picking up a Bible for pretty much my entire life, so... And I will say that the first few days, I did feel something, but I wasn't sure if it was really him or if it was just my imagination. And it wasn't until the third or fourth day during our evening worship that I really felt him. And it was one of the most magical and amazing moments I've ever experienced in my entire life. And I will never forget it. I was so overwhelmed with this indescribable feeling, and because of it, I cried. And I'm not the only one who felt it, because pretty much the entire room was crying for pretty, like, 1 or 2 hours, so. And after that experience, I put all of my being into prayer, and I would look for answers all of the time, not just words in my head, actions. And to my surprise, they were there. My life has changed, and I met so many wonderful people that I hope to keep in touch with, and I made so many memories that I will cherish, and I'm so thankful and blessed to have gotten to go to that camp, and I can't wait until next time. Thank you.
When I started going to church, I was... I was a teenager. I was around 14 or 15 when I first started seeking out who God was and what it meant to me. And I went to a lot of different churches. And there was a word. There were a lot of churchy words that didn't make sense to me. And one of those words is redeemed. And that's one of the things that God tells us. He says that we are redeemed. And I didn't fully understand what that means. The only context I was familiar of that word being used was in recycling or coupons. So I didn't understand how a person, is redeemed. When I was a teen, I had kind of some tumultuous experiences, and I made some really stupid mistakes. Usually we do in our teenage years. I made some that got me in a lot of trouble. One time in particular that was really impactful in my life was that I lied to my parents about where I was and who I was with. and I ended up being in a really dangerous situation, and there was no one there to help me. And in that situation, I was hurt, and I was scared, and I had no one to talk to about it, largely because I lied about who I was with, where I was, and I didn't want to come clean to my parents, but I should have, because I was, my heart was broken, and I was physically and emotionally scarred from that time in my life. It was soon after, I'm getting a lot of, is it me? Why is it? Okay. I just feel so loud. It was soon after this event in my life that I accepted Christ, and it was through that acceptance that I started experiencing real healing. That experience gave me a deep love for teens and the experiences that they go through, because it was a really hard time in my life, and it gave me a passion to reach out to people going through that same stage in life and possibly spare them the struggles that I went through. My heart aches for the hardships, struggles, conflicts, and confusion that we all face when we're teenagers. And I rejoice in the excitement, accomplishments, and successes that our teens also experience. What happened in my past and the hurt that I experienced is now being used to speak truth and love and grace and mercy and the healing love of our Savior into the lives of our teenagers. And a really bad situation that I was in was a catalyst for a positive life change for me. And I want you guys to think about what hurts that you've experienced in your life and how that may have thrust you into a deeper compassion and understanding for other people. If we choose in those hurts and those pains and those struggles and even in our successes, if we use those things and we choose to seek God in them and we choose to seek His forgiveness, His healing, and His grace for those things, if we choose to use them to bring glory to God, that is a redemption story. That is how our hurts and our past are redeemed and being used for good. And it's a choice that we have to give it to God. Psalm 107 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south." No matter how young or old we are, no matter what we've been through or how much you may or may not know about the Bible, any story that shows the hand of God at work is the story worth sharing. Everyone has a story.
Well, thank you to you all for leading us. And that was a new song for me. I love that song. Can we do that song, Peter? So we've heard that God says we are welcome. We have heard that God says we belong. We have heard that God says we are valued. And we have heard that God says we are redeemed. In and of itself, those four things feel like enough. What a beautiful thing to sit with that, with the fact that we are welcome. You are welcome to sit with that knowing that you belong, to sit with that knowing that you are valued, to sit with that knowing that everything that is your life is being changed and used for good. That's good. Soak that in for a second. You are welcome. You belong. You are valued. You are redeemed. But that is not all that God has to say about you. It's not all God has to say about us. A few weeks ago in Kids Zone, I talk about Kids Zone a lot because I'm there a lot. It's what I do. A few weeks ago in Kids Zone, we realized that not only are we welcomed, not only do we belong, not only are we valued, and not only are we redeemed, we are sent. All of those things God uses to send us. There is a purpose for our lives. Your life has meaning. Everything that you are matters. You are here for a reason. How many times have you asked that question in your life? God, what on earth am I here for? Jesus tells us very clearly. He says in Matthew 28, he comes to his disciples and he says, and you'll see the colors. It's because in Kids Zone we noticed it was kind of like a sandwich. God, make a you're sent sandwich. So the first piece of bread, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So Jesus says, "I got all the power."
And then he says four things. These are the sandwich parts, the meat, the cheese, the lettuce, and the onions, or pickles if you don't like onions. He says, first, go. Go. He says, make disciples. Baptize and teach them. Go, make disciples of all nations, not just a couple people, everybody. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Bringing them into the family is what that means. And teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And then there's that second piece of bread. You ready? So God started, I got all the power. Here's the meat, the cheese, and the onions, or pickles. And then he says this, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. We are sent. We have a purpose. Our purpose is to go and tell everybody else what we know God has said about us and about them. And we can do our job. We can complete our mission because the God who has all the power and all the authority in all of the universe is with us. That thrills me. That should feel empowering to you. I hope that it does. Pastor Phil is going to come up and share with us what we're doing together, being sent as Edgewater.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you all for coming to Edgewater Church this morning. I am Pastor Phil. I'm the pastor here. It's good to have you all here this morning. As we take your offerings, and again, let me just say, if you are a guest, you are a guest. We're not after your money. This is the chance for Edgewater, the people who call Edgewater home, to say thanks to God for all that he's provided and to express our worship to God through our giving and support the ministry of the church. I want to share a little bit about what's going on, the fun things that are going to be happening coming up in just the next few days, actually, starting on Friday. Friday, we are going to gather at the food trucks downtown at, where's that at, Peter?
John Buckley Square,
okay. We're going to have, are we going to set up a tent? Is that the plan or what? Okay, we'll have an area. All right, look for the Edgewater Church area, but between 6:30, 7 o'clock, come and join us, or 6 o'clock, I should say, between 6 and 7, come and join us. Get some food at the food trucks, come hang out with one another, have a really, really fun evening. That's this Friday, all right, down at the food trucks. Look forward to that. Then coming up in just a couple of weeks, we're going to go to the Pittsburgh Diamonds game on July 7th. Is there a sign-up for that? People just show up and look for the Edgewater folks at the Pittsburgh Diamond game coming up. And then two Sundays from now, we are going to have a new members class. So if you're not a member of Edgewater Church, you want to become a member of Edgewater Church, we are going to have an information class to tell you what it means to be a member, how to become a member, and if you're wondering why in the world would I want to become a member, membership is a way of your saying, I have already made Edgewater my home. Now I want to publicly declare my commitment to the congregation through membership. It also has some practical value of it gives you that voice, gives you the vote in the business of the church, including budgets, including voting on the hiring of new pastor when that time comes. So if you're interested in being part of that membership class, it's going to be 1 o'clock Sunday, July 9th at Tim and Cecilia Stone's house. So look for that. It's a two-hour class just to kind of give you a feel for that. So those are the things coming up. We're also going to be doing some different types of community service events, outreach events this summer. We're still working out the details on that, so I don't want to announce it yet, but hopefully in the next week we'll be able to share with you the things we're going to be doing to connect with the community this summer and blessing them with God's love. So look forward to that. And now I'm going to invite Amy back up because we have some kids who are getting promoted up into their new classes. So I'm going to turn it back. First of all, can we just say thanks to all the children and all the youth and the job they did this morning? I don't know about you, but the testimonies, thank you for the sharing. Everybody who shared, that was powerful. It touched me. The singing was incredible. We have some new singers for the worship team, I think. It was really wonderful, and Amy and Karen and Ezra and Cindy, thank you for all you do for our children's ministry, our youth ministry. We have fantastic children's and youth ministries. So. And with that note, I'm going to hand you the mic.
Thank you, Phil. So I'm going to do, we just said we're sent, and one of our joys and one of the things that we've been working on, especially over the last few weeks, is really determining and solidifying how we're going to be consistent with our kids, starting from birth all the way up through high school. And so one of the things that we do is when kids meet milestones in their academic career, we do something to celebrate that, because that's a big deal. And so we have some changes coming in our kids' zone midst, and I am thrilled for them and a little sad, but that's okay. I want to start with our littlest group is a group that goes from age 0 to about preschool TK. When kids finish preschool and TK, transitional kindergarten, they make a huge step and they go to kindergarten. And we have one person in our group who's moving up to kindergarten. And so we want to come and we want to give her a special gift. Maddie, are you here? Can you come see me? So this is Maddie Travers, and Maddie is going to be coming up into the big kids' kids zone. Are you excited? Yay! We are so excited. That means you're going to start coming with the big kids in kids zone. Okay. We have a special gift for you in there, and your mommy and daddy can help you open it and see what it's all about. So you stand right there, okay? The sad part for me is that sometimes kids move out of the group that I work directly with, and that makes my heart weep a little bit. But I know that they're going to into good hands, and that's very exciting. I want to ask Cicely and Angela to come on up. Cicely and Angela. So Angela is going to stand right here, and Cicely is going to stand right on the other side of her. Angela and Cicely and Angela have finished, successfully completed fifth grade and are moving into junior high.
Yay.
They both look really thrilled about that, don't they? We know that you are turning into remarkable young women, but I'm going to get all weepy now, both of you. Beautiful and sensitive, strong and intuitive. These women are amazing. And the world is in for some really amazing treats as they continue to grow. We want to celebrate you and thank you and say we're going to miss you in Little Kids. But I conned them into helping out with the kids during the summer, so I'm not totally losing them. Cicely, this is for you. And Angela, this is for you. Good luck. I know that you all are both going to be very successful when you hit sixth grade next year.
You guys can stay there. You can stay there. We have two more. Josiah and Alana just completed eighth grade, and they're going to be going into high school. And see, I'm lucky because I don't have to be sad because we get to do middle school and high school. So I feel like I'm getting a lot. So I get to keep them, and I'm getting Cicely and Angela. And so our group is just growing, and we're completely thrilled. So Josiah and Alana, congratulations on going into high school, and that is a gift for you guys. So, yes, this is congratulations to all of you.
So, thank you all. You can sit or hang out in the back with the crayons and the Play-Doh for a couple more minutes. Part of the reason we did this morning, Karen and Ezra both said it, what we learn as children affects our lives for the whole of them. I am going to teach you a song that I learned when I was a little girl, and it still speaks volumes to me today because it reminds me of who I am and what I'm a part of. So it's the words will be up on the screen. There. It's very, very simple. I think my sister knows this, so hopefully she'll sing loud. She may not remember. I'm kind of putting her on the spot there. So it says simply, we are the family of God. Yes, we are the family of God. And he's brought us together to be one in him so that we might bring light to the world. This is who we are, and this is why. So it goes like this. I don't know how this is going to work. Zion, would you start us off?
God says you are welcome.
God says you belong. God says you belong.
God says you are valued.
God says you are redeemed.
God says you are sent.
All together.
So now go and be light to the world.
I and Pastor Phil are all available if anybody would like specific prayer or to talk to us about anything that we shared during the message this morning. We would love that. But now we're going to pray as our children have already sent us. We're going to pray for that. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for our children, for our teens, for the ways that you're using them to change this world, for the uniqueness that you've put in their hearts and the way that they can teach us. And I pray, Lord, for your strength, your Holy Spirit, for us each to use the gifts that you've given us and to choose you and to listen to your voice, God, louder than any other voice in our lives, that we would keep our eyes set on you, our hearts focused on you, and that you would empower us to make change in this world, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.